Drunky. Welcome to Rhymes Against Humanity with Adam Brodsky. I am Adam Brodsky, and later, very very shortly, as a matter of fact, because I'm staring right at her, I feel very challenged, very very privileged, actually, that Deirdre Flint is in my presence. I have not seen her in quite a while, and I am looking forward to talking to her just for my own edification and yours, if edification is a word. We got the window open because it's a nice day, so you hear the kids on their Harley Davidsons trying to be all tough. we are, as you know, there was no release last week because we were briefly on the government shutdown list. As you know, we are a federally funded arm, the propaganda wing of the United States government. And but because, I don't know, as people complained, and I appreciate all you fans who wrote into your congressman, and they maneuvered some funding around, and oddly, through the Department of... It's Health and Human Services, ironically. They found the funding, and I got the funding back for the show. So we're back on the air this week, and hopefully it'll continue until the government does, in fact, reopen. Anyway, I am pleased to be here with Deirdre Flint. A little belchy. With a dear. Most times you would cut and you'd not belch, but with
we're going organic.
Yes,
here.
With a good old friend of mine from because then I'd have to edit it out later. It's a whole thing. So this way we just roll right on through. So my good friend Deirdre Flint.
We stand on no ceremony.
Fuck ceremony is what we say. So I have Deirdre with me, and I have known Deirdre for 20 years.
No. Not 20 years.
When? How long?
We met in 1998.
Oh, I apologize. That would make it, what, 16 years?
Yeah, somewhere around that. 88.
16 is 20. I mean, like...
Okay, fine.
1, 2, 3, 4, 20 is how it goes, to how the young people think. That's
okay.
Infinity to them.
I guess that's new math. All right.
So, I met Deirdre at... We met at George's Fifth Street Cafe, correct?
We did, yes.
Yes. So, which is now... I just looked it up because I knew it was something. It's a cookie company
it
now.
It is a cookie company, and they actually sell... They're on the whole bacon bandwagon. This won't offend you, right? You're Jewish. I know. So.
Yeah. I'm Jewish like the Pope is Catholic.
Okay, well, anyway, yeah, they've got the bacon cookies going. Cookies with bacon? You know
okay.
How bacon's the...
Yes.
Bacon's the new black,
bacon
basically?
Has always been the black,
No,
though.
No. It's
I
just
mean,
been
it's,
recent.
I think bacon always lives sort of up here, and then it spikes, but it never... Like, when is it ever... I mean, at least for me, it never goes out of favor.
Okay, well, in my opinion, whenever they make air fresheners shaped like something...
Okay. Oh, okay,
like
that's
when,
the bellwether.
You know, right.
Okay.
Like, it was Bigfoot had an air freshener, and then zombies,
vampires... Wait, what did the Bigfoot
vampires.
Air freshener smell like?
I don't know. I haven't opened it yet because I'm just so excited about it. I wanted to save it for a special occasion. Like when my dog shit in the car.
That'd
know.
Be like, well, the only I guess Bigfoot has probably smelled a little better than this.
That's true.
We are both dog people now.
Yes.
We used to be, we don't have time for that shit. We're always on the road.
Well, I still don't have time. Well, actually, I do. I have copious amounts of time this season. Oh, well.
So what prompted you to get a dog?
Okay, what prompted me to get a dog was I've been a dog lover forever. You know,
okay.
I grew up with dogs. But,
right.
It's hard to, when you live alone, it's hard to, if you travel a lot, to have a dog.
Right.
And so I really, really wanted a dog. And my parents, who never break a vow, ever.
Right.
Yeah. They said, if you want to get a dog, go ahead and get the dog. We'll watch it when you're gone.
All right.
Now, obviously, I've searched for a pet sitter, too.
Right.
But then occasionally when my wonderful pet sitter can't watch my dog,
right.
I do have to take my dog to my parents. And somehow they've forgotten the
oh.
fact that they said they would watch my dog, you know.
Oh, you got to get in. Like, we'll be in the same community now. Like, because what I've found is that dog... Well, I got Queequeg as a puppy, and
mm-hmm.
so people came out of the way, if you ever need to leave him, leave him. And so we wrote their names down while he was still a puppy. Now he's just a regular
dog. Yeah, you
really
take people up on that?
We never have, but uh-huh. but it's, actually that's not true. We did once, but there's a list of people, and my dog is actually, really as yours appears to be, just seems to be sitting there.
No, my dog's really high maintenance.
Oh, really?
Like I have this wonderful dog sitter, and the only thing wrong with her is that she doesn't want to watch him all the time. And so...
Isn't that her job when she's dog sitting?
Pardon?
Like, to watch him... Oh, right.
What
but
I mean
when she's on,
like,
she's on.
Oh, yeah.
She's
yeah.
not like,
and
I'll watch him, but
her.
Then I'll stroll
right.
away. Okay.
No, he loves her. But so then I actually found a dog sitter when she was... when she couldn't watch him on Craigslist.
Oh, how'd that go?
You know how... Have you heard of the Craigslist murders? Yeah. So,
your dog seems to be alive.
He's alive.
Did your dog kill the sitter?
No, the sitter practically killed the dog.
Really?
Well, this is what happened. And God bless her, she was young. But apparently she was missing a stair on the staircase. And my dog fell through the staircase
Excuse
and
broke
me? His leg. Yes.
She broke your dog's leg.
Well, the lack of stair broke my dog's leg.
Oh, my God.
And so $7,000 later.
$7,000?
$7,000, yeah.
Oh, I would miss you terribly, Queequeg.
Well, what I was thinking was, if I'd known it was that much, I would have told Penn, just lop off the leg after $2,000. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't have said that. Really, you know? You get a dog with three legs, that's cheaper than a dog with a metal plate in his... Anyway, so I have to be a bit careful of who I, you know...
Okay.
And who would want to watch a dog like that? Obviously, I didn't hold her liable. She's young, you know? I mean, she
Did she feel bad?
She did, and I feel bad that I should have asked the dog sitter, do you have all your stairs? You know?
Would, yeah, you think...
I mean, that was completely irresponsible of me to ask somebody... By the way, your house, does it have all its stairs?
How do you get from the top floor to the bottom floor in the morning? I'm just asking.
Well, apparently if you're Dag or the dog, you just drop.
All right. Now, what I tend to do on this podcast is I tend to get lost talking to people, and we don't play enough songs. So I'm trying my new thing is play me a song right away.
Okay.
So, yeah, so get the guitar. That appears to be... close to in tune.
Did you tune this?
I did. You can try it again if you want, but I think it's pretty good.
I don't.
Deirdre Flint is one of my favorite songs. I even whipped out the capo for you, figuring
Thank
that
you.
You might need something.
Of course.
Like one of my favorite
I'm
songwriters.
I'm a singer-songwriter. Of course I need the capo.
So I always love her songs and her little weird looking dog.
All right.
My goodness.
So I'm opting to play stuff that I don't play with the Babes.
Right.
Because,
Deirdre Flint is a member of the Four Bitchin' Babes. It's four still, right?
Yes. Four okay. wonderful. Well, I can't call myself wonderful, but the three others are very
okay,
wonderful.
There's three wonderful Bitchin' Babes, and then one jury's out.
I don't know.
or,
so,
and one modest.
You know, we sent out a newsletter, and on the newsletter, it was that I was gonna be on this podcast.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. Yeah, so, anyway, I warned the people that the nice, happy stuff that I usually sing is not going to be included on this.
Oh, we're bringing out the...
Well, no. I mean, you're not going to think it's dark.
Oh.
But anybody that goes to a Bitchin' Babes show might think it's a little dark.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying.
All right.
So, all right. So, you know, they won't have heard this stuff before.
Oh, great. Okay.
Okay. And you won't have heard this either. Okay.
Great.
Let me see. How should I start this? Oh, well. A couple of years ago, Stephen Hawking appeared in a documentary saying that he thought alien life forms exist, but we should not try to contact them, because if they're smarter than we are, they might use planet Earth as a refueling station, taking the good stuff and leaving the place decimated. Those of you with middle names like Hiawatha and Sitting Bull kind of know what I'm talking about. Oh, by the way, happy Columbus Day. Anyway, I'm not saying that I'm smarter than Stephen Hawking, but I don't think he's thought this completely out. This could be win-win for a bunch of us. Descend from the skies, needing humans to test and analyze. Never to fear, I've a plan in the works. They can come, one caveat, just eat the jerks. We've got more than our share, eat the jerks. We've got plenty to spare. Drivers who use up two spaces to park, and those who tailgate in the rain. The guy who opens the overhead bin when we're not at the gate yet, so he could be the first one off the plane. Parents who allow their preteen girls to dress like floozies, which in turn makes your own kid feel like a dork. People who don't change the toilet paper roll, and half the population of New York. Oh, know if E.T. gets hungry and brings all his pals. Let's be prepared, man, let's make a list now. A select group of lawyers and government clerks. Take your pick, be our guest, eat the jerks. It would be no big loss, eat the jerks. Hey, we'll throw in some sauce. Heads of troubled companies who reassure their workers, and it turns out all along they're dumping stock. Celebrities who speak out against global warming, and they've got the biggest Hummer on the block. Classic rock groups who sell their classic anthem, so it's now a jingle for a luxury car. Co-workers who won't clean up the mess left in the microwave. Telemarketers and Canada Star. Oh, Martians may right now be headed straight here, thinking that humans might taste great with beer. Let's start with Congress and some retail clerks. Come on down, the drive-thru's open. Eat the jerks. I find it hard to believe that you'd be able to grieve if we sent Pat Robinson or Michael Vick, the hacker who sent you mail, causing your system to fail. I get a feeling you'd get over that mightily quick. And if Newt Gingrich were gone, I'm pretty sure you'd move on. If Nancy Grace went missing, I don't think you'd join the search. And would you really protest an alien request for the whole congregation of the Westboro Baptist Church? Oh, Westboro Baptist Church, Jesus loves you too. But that does not negate the fact that you are delicious. Oh, little green man might be headed this way, thinking Earth's one big old country buffet. Looking for dinner, dessert, the whole works. Your table's waiting. Tip your waitress. Eat the jerks.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Did you call for Kenneth Starr to be eaten? Leave the old guy alone. He's Why? Like 100. That was like 70 years ago.
All right. Maybe I should update it a little.
There's plenty of stars. You could call for... There's plenty of stars. I like that. That's obviously very, 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 very good. So that now you don't sing that with the babes?
No.
Why not?
Because we have flowers that bloom so differently on our audience. And so, have Republican flowers and Democrat flowers and independent flowers.
Wait,
we have flowers of all kinds and sizes. And I don't, people shouldn't pay good money to be offended.
Wow, you and I are very different
people. I know that. We always have been.
That's exactly what people should pay good money
for.
They should have their views challenged.
No, I'm just going to offend them here on your podcast.
That's awesome.
Because I knew that I could.
Oh, bring it. Try. Mm-hmm. Try to. I played a house concert at Jim Brand's, an XFS house concert last Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first time, they asked me to fill in last minute. I was like, I haven't played in such a long time, but I actually practiced. And I get up on stage and I'm scared, am I going to be any good? Because I really haven't, I never sing these songs anymore. And I had a whole bunch of new songs that I've written but not sung.
I can't even imagine. I mean, I have to practice when I do a solo show, I have to practice forever I can't imagine being asked last minute.
One of the things that I truly love about you is your laser focus about things, everything in life, but especially your song, like your
I know,
songs
I'm like,
and your banter.
Almost up to a 4-digit income now. God, everybody should admire me.
It's finally paying off. Well, no, I want to talk about your plan too. Like, I mean,
My plan is to get hit by a SEPTA bus when I'm 70. That's my retirement plan.
That's a good plan.
Thank you.
That's very nice. That's,
yeah.
You know what you can do?
I hope they don't have to reverse. I'm hoping for a quick and painless
Oh, you don't want to sue and get the money. That's how you want to go.
No, this is how... I mean, I don't have a retirement plan. My retirement plan is to get hit by a bus.
All right.
Yeah.
That's why a bus?
I'm just thinking that'll do the trick. But, I hadn't thought about the poor SEPTA driver.
Yeah. All the people, the last thing they have to see is your guitar making that sound as it hits the ground. Sometimes, Butch and I used to talk about that sound. At the open mic, we would give anything for that sound. Like, some knucklehead to shut up. As he goes
have
down.
Have you seen that clip on YouTube where the comedian takes his guitar and hits a heck okay in Hollywood, but a guitar is pretty substantial. So then he gets this.
Wait, like for serious, he hit a guy?
He took his guitar and smashed it over some guy's head.
He is living my dream.
But here's the thing. I mean, the whole crowd turned on him.
Yeah, once you beat the crowd up, right?
Yeah, because you're expecting, like, it to go boing, yong, 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 you know, and, like, little splinters and, the, you know, like, the little Tweety Bird, you know.
Yeah, right.
Like, hey, stop hitting me over the head with the guitar.
But
he got injured.
Oh, it's so funny when the crowd gets hurt. Oh, but there have been times when I've thought that would be awesome. So let's go back to the very beginning. So actually, let's go back to before we met.
Okay.
Because here was your plan.
Yes.
I don't mean to make you laugh at your own plan. Yes. Because it seemed like a very valid plan.
It was a cute little plan.
No, it was not a cute little plan. It was an intricate plan. Step one of the plan was go to Korea.
Yes. Yes.
And so you went to Korea, and I love this. Now, if I remember correctly, your plan was twofold. You went to Korea for two reasons. One is you would bank a bunch of money, because when you're in Korea, you're making the money teaching English as a second language.
Yes.
And there's nowhere to spend it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Right.
So then you would come home, mm-hmm. and you were not going to be like every other folk singer that had $5 in their pocket.
Right.
You were going to be a folk singer that had $30,000 in her
pocket. No, not that much, but enough to make a CD.
Yeah,
yes.
You're going to make it. And the CDs were expensive back then.
Well, not if you work with wonderful people like my producer, Greg Horn, who gave me a good deal.
Yeah. No, but even so, like, it was, like, to get, you had to have the guy with the equipment, and then each CD cost you $7 or $8, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and, you know, I did mine at Indre Studios in Philadelphia.
I remember
Michael
that.
Comstock,
yeah.
And, you know, he gave me a great deal, but it's still not cheap.
And this is the Shuffleboard Queens.
Situation, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love that record. So.
Me too. And it is my favorite Kid. The second one I'm not so thrilled with, so... You know, I have favorites.
I like them both, but the Shuffleboard Queens is special to me. And so George's Fifth Street Cafe was literally around the corner. You still live in the hood, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, you're...
I'm the only one left.
Yeah, well, yeah, well,
I walk by your house, like, often and...
You know, the very last shot of the opening credits of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you can see my old apartment.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, so,
oh my gosh.
I don't mean to brag,
That's so cool.
I finally made it in Hollywood.
Well, I remember when Will Smith did his video
down the
street. And I was hanging out your window and watching it.
I totally forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, there was that. I mean, hanging out my window, you could see that. And then there's the Greek picnic you'd hang out the window for that. that was a fun time. So, but George's Fifth Street was literally around the corner from my house, 517 South Fifth Street, which is now the Cookie Place.
Right.
And George Hornbostel, great guy, opened up, was trying to live his dream and open up a coffee house. And then he met us. and we said, what you need is live music. And he said, you're right, I need live music. And then a year later, we had pretty much milked him of all
of
his money.
Yeah, he's probably still running from the IRS.
Yeah, so...
That's awesome.
But you were at an open mic, mm-hmm. and I walked around the corner to hang out, and the spaghetti in the VCR. What's that song called? Check the Freezer? Is that what it's called?
It's called Goodbye, just because, you know, the punchline.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you sing that with the babes?
No.
Would you like to sing it now?
You don't want me to sing it? Okay.
Yeah. Just because this is the very first song.
Then this will explain why you and I became friends. When I looked in your eyes, I knew it was over. You had found another, my fears had come true. No more running together in fields of clover. No more holding hands under skies so blue. I can't keep you, you found your new love now. It wouldn't be right for me to hold you here. Too old to find another, but I look fondly back on these 7 years. My bags are packed, the engine is running. I hope she can please you like I know you will please her. This kiss I'll cherish for a lifetime, and one more thing. If you're looking for your dog, check the freezer. Bye, doggy, bye. By the way, did I mention that your parking brake does not work? I'm so very sorry about your car. To make it up to you, I cooked your favorite dish of pasta, marinara. It's currently playing in your VCR. I went out last night, I saw your new girlfriend. She was being carted at the liquor store. I followed her home, I know you hate cats. She had a Persian. She doesn't anymore. Oh, goodbye.
Very nice. So you go to open mics. You go to, you know, you, at that stage, I was going to 3, 4, 5 open mics a week. You know, it's part of the job, right? And you listen to these off. Everybody sucks. Everybody is awful. And I was like, oh, some other girl is on stage strumming this goddamn. Oh, Jesus Christ. Why am I even here? You know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to go back to grad school. I'm going to get a job. And then the song twists. I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
It's all your fault.
Oh, my God.
I could have been a professor.
Oh, my God. I feel terrible.
Yeah. So that was my first Deirdre Flint song. But certainly not my last. And then we became friends.
Right,
and we
that's
fell
because
in.
You helped me out so much. You gave me my second gig. Michael Leo gave me my first.
Oh, Mike Leo, yeah.
Yeah. And then you always looked out for me, and you always, you know, did as much as you could for me.
Yeah.
So
we would occasionally play together, and it was fun. Like once we actually started to have our own fans, it was fun because our songs in general have there's an air of there's a certain compatibility about them. They can both be snarky and funny and unsentimental. Our fans, not so much. They come from two different worlds.
Except for our one fan, who, by the way, it's her birthday, Beth.
Oh, nice.
Beth Dunham Toner, happy birthday.
Oh, today's
Beth.
Beth's birthday.
Today's Beth's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday,
and
Beth.
She used to come to your shows, and then we became really close friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I still text with Beth once in a great while.
Yeah,
I enjoy it. And Beth is crazy. Like Beth, because when we knew Beth, she was living in West Philly.
Yes,
and she had just gotten divorced. Mm-hmm. You know, and she was in her like first recent divorcees. That was my specialty back at the time. Because
recent divorcees whose ex-husbands were big fans of yours, because that's what that was
that,
about.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, she was like, "Yeah, you like his CD? Well, I fucked him." So, look, whatever you got to tell yourself. I'll be over at 8. So, where was I going with that? I got lost in Beth.
Oh, fans.
Right. Yeah, so we would play. I mean, the one show I remember is we played at Villanova for some reason. Remember the Villanova show?
Yes. Beth was there, yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And first of all, and if there are any musicians listening, you need to get Beth as your fan, because if she comes to a show, like, seriously, single-handedly, she can turn a show around with her laugh.
Yes.
She
to
has
the
this
point
amazing
that my
laugh.
My second CD. She was sit. We had to turn her side of it was part of it was live. We had to turn her side of the room down.
Did she snort? She snorts too.
Oh, I don't know about the snorting, but her laugh was so loud that it. Yeah,
and
it was awesome.
Literally,
she's awesome.
I have been in rooms where people are like, I don't know about this guy. I don't like the things he's saying. But then she gives that laugh. Like, okay, I guess it's okay.
Yeah.
Then.
So, yeah. She's a good egg.
Yeah. So we played a few shows together, and then you were So you went to Korea for 2 years.
A year and a half.
Year and a half. Mm-hmm. And you were teaching. Now, from the way I remember you telling the story is you show up in Korea, and I think you tell the story about how like their comfort food is like squid roll-ups or something.
Oh, yeah.
So like, you're left alone. Didn't they tell
apart? Okay, what happened was their secretary picked me up. And I wasn't in Seoul. I was in a smaller city called Gwangju. And so she drops me off and she says, see you tomorrow. And so there I am in this apartment. And tomorrow comes and goes. And the next day. And I can't really leave because I don't know. I don't have any phone numbers. And she has to take me to immigration to get some, you know, things. So finally, like...
In Saudi Arabia, these stories don't end well.
Yes. So I end up finding the college and I walk to the college and I ask for my boss. And they're like, oh, he's not here. This is summer. I was like, okay, well, aren't we starting school in a few days? Anyway, so he finally calls me on the phone and he's like, oh, God, he was such a great guy. But, you know, he laughed at everything. So it's like, haha, you were looking for me? I said, yes, I guess I would like to know what I'm teaching. And he's like, haha, you came up to the college? Yes. So he's like, okay, come up again. So I walked up again and I said, okay, so I wanted to know what I'm teaching. And he says, you are teaching English composition and English translation. I said, okay, what's the difference between them? And he says, ha, very little. So then I'm like, okay, just give me the books. He's like, books, ha, we have no books. We thought you had books.
We thought you had books.
This is college, right? Yeah. So it's like, okay. You know, and I started teaching in Catholic school where I was completely underqualified. So I was really good at shutting my door and not causing any problems, you know, so that nobody would find out what a lousy teacher I am. I'm like, okay, no problem. So I ended up...
Under the radar university.
Exactly. So school was starting in 4 days, you know, and there was a holiday weekend. I ended up having to find my way to Seoul and, you know, by bus, by train, and trying to find some English bookstores to buy English books, English textbooks, to come home and Xerox to have these, yeah. Because that was the first time they'd had an English speaking, a native speaker. So I guess they thought when they were hiring me, they were hiring a program. And I was just like, okay.
I'm just a girl with a master's degree.
Exactly.
So trying to be a folk singer here. I just want to save some money and make a record.
Exactly. But it was wonderful. I had a great time there. Wrote a bunch of songs. Yeah.
Okay. So you come home.
It worked. The plan worked.
Okay.
Because the part of the plan was... make enough money that you can afford to lose it. And I did. So there you go.
How do you get $1 million in folk music?
Exactly. Start, you know, I didn't have to sell my blood for months. So.
Nice.
Awesome.
Okay, so then you're playing open mics and stuff and you start playing gigs. Now, were you like the rest of us. You were a road dog. You were touring all around by yourself, right? And did you have a little Subaru or something?
I had a Dodge Neon.
Oh, the Neon!
Yeah, did you know that at some point the Dodge Neon was the most stolen car in America? Or was at least on the top 10?
Who would want to steal a Neon?
I know, can you imagine being like a carjacker and you're, you know, pulling up in your driveway with the Neon? Like, the wife is like, wow, that's a bad day at the office, you know? Here comes a Neon. But... but I did that. But then I just got lucky, you know. I did that and I ended up getting some really good gigs. I got the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance showcase. And then
showcase, not a guerrilla showcase.
Right.
Right. Just
and
make
then,
sure you
Yeah, and that was like a year and a half in.
Yeah.
And then I ended up getting...
You say lucky, but you're actually an excellent songwriter and a great
Thank
performer,
Thank you, but
too, so
you know
that.
What? There's a lot of
you have
excellent...
To, you should
there's,
be both.
There's got to be... There's luck. There's so much luck involved, you
I understand.
Know? And then I got Kerrville, and Sally Fingerette,
right.
Who's of the Bitchin' Babes, was the judge.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, she put... Okay... a female funny folk singer in a Rolodex, because really, how many of this are there? Intentionally funny, anyway. I know those open mics are hilarious,
oh
but...
Oh, my God.
So then I ended up... Actually, you know, I was close to quitting. I had applied to Philadelphia Public School District as a full-time teacher.
Oh, to be a real teacher, not just a substitute.
Right, when I got the call from the Babes.
Okay, now you're still subbing, right?
Oh my God, I'm subbing all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, here's another thing about you that's amazing. You know, you're 5 foot nothing. What are you? Are you 5? You're not 5'2".
No,
two,
right? I'm 5.
5, nothing, right. So, and you would, when I met you, you were subbing as well. Because you have a master's degree, and you have to be credentialed in Philadelphia, right?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Okay. But you would take the gigs, like basically the way the system. I don't know if the system probably works differently now, but at the time it was a phone deal. You'd call in.
Yeah, right. It was like Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. You dial in and hit 9, and then if you're the fifth caller, you get and you would. The thing is, if I remember correctly, you would take the show. You would take the gigs that you would take the teaching, the substitute. Because in the Philadelphia school district, there are always, you know, there's, you can work any day you want, but this is what I remember you telling me. But sometimes you don't really want to work where they need a teacher. But
exactly.
You were pretty much fearless. You would go into schools that big, large individuals didn't want to go into. Schools that are, what are they labeled, persistently dangerous? Isn't that a term?
I don't know, but I remember one gig. I guess the guy had quit. But so in the phone message, because it was a special ed for emotional issues.
Oh,
in junior
high.
That's
a fun day, yeah.
Right.
And, in junior high, of course.
Right. So...
that's the perfect storm of awful.
Anyway, you know, it's like, so, you are qualified for a job at, you know, Barrett Middle School for, 7th grade, emotional issues, special education, special instructions are, and this is where the teacher would say something like, lesson plans are on my desk, why, or, you know, or prep is at 2:15, canceled, but anyway... This teacher obviously didn't have a great grasp on the English
awesome.
Grammar or language, whatever. And so the machine goes, special instructions are, and he goes, this position expected to last for forever. What he meant was, you can take this to the end of the year, but I was like,
forever. I mean,
and sure enough, I'm sure it did. I did not take that one.
No. But now, do you still do the phone thing?
No, it's a computerized thing.
No, but I mean, I'm sorry. Your deal was you would, this was back when cell minutes were a thing. And you would call people, right in class, you would call moms?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do that.
That's your, because I mean, you know, like, I was the class clown, and substitute teacher was like, all right, crack my knuckles, settle in, because here we go, it's on.
Uh-huh.
And you, like, isn't it like first day in prison? Don't you have to beat somebody with a chair right away when you substitute teach?
Well, you know, it's hard to get them alone, you
okay.
know, because if you do it in front of somebody, it's your word against, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If there's a witness, then you're always going to go down.
But what do you do when you go into a room as a substitute? How do you, you know, being diminutive?
Oh, what do I do?
Yeah.
I walk in and I say, when you walk into this classroom, go directly to your seat, sit down, take off your jackets and backpack and fold your hands. Do not begin to unpack. We need to go over the rules I have when I'm in here. And then I hand out the rules. Number one, do not leave your seat without permission. Do not leave your seat to sharpen your pencil. Do not leave your seat to come tap me on the shoulder. Do not leave your seat to throw anything out. When I'm in this classroom, do not leave your seat. Number two, raise your hand and wait to be called on. Number three, do not argue with me. Follow my instructions the first time I give them. Number four, you haven't had this rule, so pay attention. If you finish work early, do not raise your hand and say I'm done. Instead, take out a piece of loose leaf and write your math facts. You know, number five, don't touch anyone. Your name needs to go on this board. If your name is not on the board by the end of the day, then I will call your parents. That means your name needs to be on the board, you know. And if it's not on, you know, by lunchtime, I'm calling your parents and explaining that you have a one-page essay on how to behave with a substitute teacher to be handed in to the principal. Then I will inform the principal that it's coming, and that's now sit down and write my rules.
Goddamn.
And so I already have the rules, and they have to write them, and then...
And then
I write their names
write...
on the board, because the thing about it is, if you say, if you're bad, and the name, and your name's going on the board, then they'll be like, I'm Lester, you know what I mean? I'm, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? But like, if they give you the wrong name,
John Wanamaker,
right, if you give the wrong name, right, then Anita Man, Then, you know, you write Anita, and the actual Anita's like, get my name off that board, you know what I mean? So you see, that's the way it goes. Right, so they don't give you the wrong name, because if you write the wrong name, then the kids whose name it is...
Where did you learn all this from?
Scars and, you know, nights crying and, you know...
This is...
It's a bad gig.
You could write a substitute teaching book. But you make... Most days are wonderful, and I love it,
because it's all really the great... I do most days because it's all the wonderful aspects of teaching and none of the paperwork.
Whoa, nice.
You know, I mean, I love being immersed in the culture of childhood. I really do. I don't know. For some reason, children just give me energy. I just really like being around them.
They haven't had all the horrible things yet.
Yeah, but there are some really bad classes and, you know, the verbal abuse that I put up with is just...
Oh, really? They still come at you?
Oh, yeah. I can't even... People wouldn't even believe the kind of verbal abuse that you get. It's just beyond... Like, whatever you read, it's worse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you watch The Wire?
No. Why?
First of all...
Is there a substitute teacher on that one?
No. There's a... one of the years they focus... One of the things they focus on is the school. These really bad kids in this bad school.
Okay.
And how... the concept was they separated out the bad kids so the other kids could learn, and so these bad kids ended up having a different sort of learning program and a different philosophy. And sort of anyway, but you should watch The Wire for a million different
reasons.
But especially
because, you know, that's so politically incorrect. But I agree absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the problem is with the Philadelphia school district is that there are plenty of kids that want to learn, but it's like the Titanic. There's not enough ships to get everybody off, so we're just going to sit them all on the Titanic and let them drown. Now, I feel bad for the kids that misbehave. I know that, for the most part, it's not their fault. But why should the other children pay for that?
Right. I don't have any good answers.
Well, then I'm leaving.
So you were substitute teaching, and you're driving around in the neon.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever take it across the country?
I do 50 states in 50 days?
Only an idiot would do
My
that.
My God, that was amazing.
That was pretty cool.
Remember I came to see you in either Montana or Wyoming.
It was Montana. Yeah, it was Montana. That big steakhouse.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody, you and I were the only two people there that didn't own their own horse. Everybody there owned a horse. Seriously. and that's right. You were that, and that was a Monday night gig too.
I mean, that is how loyal I am.
It was very true.
I came to see you in Montana.
You did. It was you and four other people, all of whom owned horses.
I haven't gone all the way across. I think the furthest I went was by car was St. Louis.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, gas was $1.10 a gallon then, so it was a lot easier to do.
Well, but the other thing, too, is I started so late. I mean, my first gig I didn't have till I was 31.
Right.
So I wasn't like... I'd already gotten to the point where I was done staying in youth hostels.
Sick of it before you started.
Right. So unfortunately,
you ever sleep in your car?
Once.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but you had a master's degree and you were making whenever you were home. You weren't like the rest of us. It was like, hey, I'm home for a week. Let's just sit on the couch and watch Star Trek. You were substitute teaching every day and racking up $150 a day or whatever it was.
Right.
$108. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then. So you were always, and I remember you would use that on the road as your like, you know, I've always admired your work ethic, and I think doesn't your dad make you work in the factory? Does he still make you work in the factory every summer?
Oh, he doesn't. Well, he doesn't own that factory anymore. But
okay.
Yes, I did.
Was it a glue factory?
Stuff glue into tubes.
So like, if I remember this correct, your parents. They live in a salt mine, in a forge? What are they
live in a furnace.
A furnace. They live in a furnace.
Yeah, an iron furnace.
They live in an iron furnace.
Yes.
And then they own a glue factory.
Yes.
They sound like villains in a fairy tale.
Well, I'm sure when I was a teenager, I used to think so.
So you have one sister? You have two sisters?
Mm-hmm. I have a sister. Mm-hmm.
How's she doing? I think I met her once.
She's doing great. She's studying to get her master's in speech pathology.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and she does voiceovers. She just did a voiceover for me because I'm making a video for my string band, Duffy String Band.
Oh, okay.
And I would like to know why you're not... Why you're not a member.
Of your string band?
You don't like... Don't you like the Mummers?
The Mummers are a little racist.
Oh, okay.
The Mummers are a little... Yeah, it's... Okay. It's some of the mummery gets me wrong.
Okay.
But not you. I'm sure you're lovely. So go on. So you... Now what's... tell me... Like, Duffy's string band... Go on. You have it... So have you mummed yet?
No, because I made the huge mistake of deciding that I was going to do the accordion.
Okay.
And, it's not been going well.
Well, it's, you know, you play the piano.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit.
So on the right hand, it's just playing the piano.
Right.
Sideways.
But, you know, you can't see it. And
yeah, no, you gotta just guess, yeah. And then on the left hand, there's 172 clitorises.
And right, you just gotta, and it's just like...
find the right one. It's hard enough to find the first one, and then...
Right, well, I think I'm gonna switch to the banjo. I said I wasn't going to, but... Yeah.
Now, do you play the accordion on stage with the babes?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because you play bass with them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I remember correctly, you were like, holy shit, these girls are talented. What do I bring to this party? I better learn how to play bass.
That's what I did. Yep. Yeah. And that was effective.
So who are the four bitchin' babes
now? The four bitchin' babes now are Sally Fingerette, who is an original member.
Okay.
And they're coming up on their 25th year.
All right.
Debbie Smith. Who I guess became a member 3 years in. We lost Nancy Moran because she just her studio. She lives in Nashville with her husband, and her studio just got really busy. So so that was last year, and we got Marcy Markser.
Okay.
From Kathy and Marcy, who can play like every instrument in the book.
Oh, you must hate her.
Well, it's funny because, you know, it used to be like, I play the bass. And then Sally learned how to play the bass. And now Marcy, I never learned how to play the bass. I just played the one of every chord.
Right, there you go.
And, you know, like, it was suggested that maybe I went to, you know, National Guitar Workshop.
Oh, that's
for
right,
a week,
yeah,
to learn the bass. But it was suggested that maybe, you know, I fancy it up. And I just came right out and said, this is not going to help my career one iota to be better on the bass. So, no. But no. Now, you know, Marcy picks it up and she's like, no. You know, and it's like, ugh. But it's good.
So how long have you been a bitchin' babe?
I guess 7 or 8 years
Holy
now.
Holy shit, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think you said you won the folk lottery.
I did. I really did. Because, you know, I mean, when I was hired, they said, look, anybody can do this job. You know, it's, you just...
How many babe shows a year do you play?
Well, this year we're not playing too many, but last year we had a great season. I don't know, like 30? I don't know. I really don't know. I've never counted it.
Okay.
But we've got two showcases coming up, which is nice. Great. So next year is going to really be terrific.
Oh, great, great.
Yeah.
And so now, do you ever Babes Emeritus? I'm not sure the Latin.
Let me see. Sometimes Christine Lavin.
Oh, that's the Holy Roman Emperor of Bitches Babes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That
oh,
was.
Absolutely.
I remember when every time you get off stage, people are like, oh, does Christine Lavin know you exist? You're like, look, I just played some songs. Leave me alone.
No, it was just that, like, I think that the tape got forwarded to her, like,
yeah,
many,
sure,
many times.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, what? I'm not going to go bug her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she's one of those people like you that, like, really looked out for the people that were just starting out or whatever.
Yeah, good egg.
And just incredibly generous. But, you know, you don't go knocking on the door.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, eventually we got to know each other, and she's
nice.
Fabulous, and I really like her.
Now, you said when you play a babe show, you guys fly in the night before, and you guys
mm-hmm.
all drink
yes.
Chardonnay together and dish and everything?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, there's really not a whole lot of tension. It's pretty, I mean, I'm lucky in the fact that I know of many people my age who, you know, wait all year to go on a, you know, girlfriend getaway.
Right.
And that's a regular part of my life.
Nice.
You know.
Nice. So. And that's that you're doing it right. So there's hotel rooms, there's
yes.
a crudité backstage.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We got our little green room rider.
Do you have anything specific in
oh,
your
yeah.
part? What's in your rider?
Okay, my rider. Okay, the special request that I made in the rider
yeah.
was salt, because they never have salt And it I get in a hissy fit when there's no salt.
All right.
But also...
That's pretty rock star.
Well, I don't... I just like it really, you know, I'm addicted to salt. And I just like, why the hell don't you have salt backstage? I ordered this and I don't say that to anybody. You know what I mean? I just go inside and be like, I need to bring salt.
so it's in the rider. It must have salt.
It's in the rider, yeah. But that
like a shaker or a salt lick like a deer?
I don't care. Just have some salt. I put in the rider snack wells.
That's perfect.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean,
full of chemicals, they, you're better off just eating.
The rider has like a 6-pack of beer and a bottle of Chardonnay. And,
a bottle of Chardonnay.
You know, it's like a rider. It's
Sex
pretty
the City
impressive.
DVD and...
No.
Because I always imagine, and I know this is not at all how it works, but I imagine like the four Bitchin' Babes, the Bitchin' Babes are like, it's like Menudo, only Menudo, they kick you out when your voice changed. When you start to get hot flashes, they kick you out of the Babes.
No, that's the brilliant thing of writing songs about hot flashes. You know? I think maybe the thing is like maybe losing your teeth or becoming incontinent, you know? Yeah,
That's funny because becoming incontinent, you would get kicked out of a lot of bands, not just Bitchin' Babes. I think you get kicked out of the Rolling Stones for being incontinent.
But you know what it does get you? Did you know that if you say, when you're applying to college and you're doing your dorm room thing, if you say, I wet the bed, you get a single.
This is awesome.
I know.
Why am I just learning this now? If you say you wet the bed, you get a single.
Yeah, they'll put you in a single.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, but then like...
Do they check? Do you actually have to wet the bed?
I don't know, but you know, then you can't get a 4.0 if your roommate commits suicide because you don't have a roommate.
That is true. Ugh, I kept telling, give my roommate bad news. I think your girlfriend back home is sleeping with your other friend. I don't see any way out, my man. And I'd get more, as finals came up, I was like, I don't know, dude. It does not look good for you. My plan failed miserably. So you should play.
I know, because if we had dropped out of college, life would have gotten much better than what we have. Because frankly, how could life not be better than the career choices we picked? Hello.
You know what? That sounds funny, but now that I don't play so many shows anymore, like having people clap and think you're awesome and give you fake love. Like I got tired of the fake love playing 200 shows a year. But now that I play like a dozen shows a year, like having people just think you're great because you rhyme salami with tsunami, or you know, I don't know. I ended up down some rabbit hole talking about how last night about how all the dwarfs were so pissed at Snow White because like fuck you, we get up every day and go to the diamond mines and work for you and bring you, and then you fucking leave with Prince Charming and leave us here. And then I started some big homoerotic dwarf gangbang where they all ganged up on Dopey when they should have
been on
Grumpy.
Well, I mean, I think one thing that you have to remember is that she was pretty.
I know, but like as a dwarf myself, I'm not cool with that. I'm just like I play music. I should be afforded access to the pretty girls.
Oh, I think you did quite well for yourself. I think from what I can remember.
Do you remember when
moving right along.
Do you remember when you gave me for my birthday the Calista Flockhart stick figure?
No.
You don't remember this?
No.
You made, because at one point, I don't know, you gave me as a present, you gave me this because I always ate, my sister calls them ankle clackers, these skinny little bird-like girls, and you gave me this Calista Flockhart stick figure, and it had dotted lines around the outside of it and said, for a skinnier doll, cut along the dotted lines. I thought that was hilarious.
I don't remember that.
It's in a drawer somewhere around here, but it was, you know, that's all right. Do you remember the phone call, the email, the Bitchin' Babe, the big break, your moment?
Well, I mean, I remember they were gonna have me sub because somebody got sick, and I was down in Washington D.C. at a storytelling festival. And they called my cell phone. By the time I got back to them, they'd already found a different sub.
Okay.
And then Sally started emailing me and, you know, and then I went down to make sure that...
Headquarters? Where is
headquarters? Let me see. There wasn't. at the time, but we all met at Debbie Smith's house because she lives in the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay.
And so they knew I could drive down. And Sally and Debbie are thick as thieves, you know, I mean, they're best friends.
Was Julie Gold?
Julie Gold was, yes.
That's from a distance, right?
Yes. Do you know her brother? Her brother has a TV show.
No, I do not know.
Yes, Danny's Guitars.
Oh, that. Oh, I didn't realize that was her brother. Okay,
yeah,
I've seen that show.
It's good,
isn't it? Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah,
yeah. All right, sing us another song.
Okay.
What would you wish to say? I love your songwriting, so we need to get more of it in.
All right. Okay, can you pause? Because
I can pause. Yeah, we'll get this all together.
All right,
we are back. She has.
All right, so you know, if people aren't familiar with my work, which is most people, I'm not looking for a whole lot of depth here. I just want to play some songs to make people happy, but
that's an underestimation.
Okay, but here's the thing. I was listening to a speech by Loudon Wainwright III,
okay,
who said that you really have to vary it up, that you should be taking your audience on an emotional roller coaster ride, and then even if you make them sad or angry, since it's an emotion felt kind of like second-handedly, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I thought I should write a song to make people angry. And so I've written this song.
Okay.
That makes people very angry. Okay?
I'm very excited for this.
Oh, no. It's... You'll be disappointed. Come ye liberal arts grads of many years ago. Here is a refresher course of what you used to know. But 401ks have got in the way, and when people talk of books, you muddle through. And for you illiterate engineers, there are some movies in here, so you can get ticked at me too. This is the song that gives away the endings. Here is the song that ruins the plot. And M. Night Shyamalan stuff, yep, it's in here, but I value my life, so Harry Potter is not. Odysseus took 10 years getting home from the war. Planet of the Apes is really New York. Father Karras perishes by plunging down the stairs. Crazy chicks torch houses in Rebecca and Jane Eyre. Jimmy Stewart doesn't jump when he finds out who his friends is. Oedipus will never have to purchase contact lenses. Bella gets fangs when baby makes three. Nothing ever happens in Old Man in the Sea. Rosebud is a sled, Katniss picks PETA instead. The kid can see Bruce Willis, cause Bruce Willis is dead. E.T. goes home, the killer is Sharon Stone. Luke Skywalker's dad is James Earl Jones. This is the song that gives away the endings. Here is the song that ruins the plot. And M. Night Shyamalan stuff, yep, it's in here, but I value my life, so Harry Potter is not. In Tale of Two Cities, Lucy's got two men to court her. In the end, the one she doesn't pick's a good head shorter. Victor leaves with Ilsa. Rick is now a hero. Moby Dick, Whale One, Captain Ahab Zero. In 12 Angry Men, the defendant's not convicted. Paradise is lost when Adam and Eve are evicted. In Vertigo, the crazy chick tongue plunges off the steeple. Soylent Green, tell them!
Everyone, Soylent Green is people!
It's people! Ophelia drowns in the drink. Dimitri's thrown in the clink. That movie Titanic, the Titanic sinks. Lolita dies, Walt Whitman likes guys. The girlfriend in the crying game's a dude in disguise. This is the song that gives away the endings. Here is the song that ruins the plot. And M. Night Shyamalan stuff, yep, it's in here, but I value my life, so Harry Potter is not.
Very nice.
Thanks.
So, how many songs do you think you've written?
I don't know, but I'm changing to the point that you'll probably be very disappointed in me, but I'm focusing a lot more on parodies.
It's been really nice having you.
Am I canceled?
And we'll see if this ever airs. Technically, go on.
Yeah.
Why?
Why? Because I am expressing myself through, I'm writing a lot more for my experience with teachers. And so I want to kind of...
writing a lot more for your experience with teachers. What do you...
I'm writing a show for teachers.
Okay.
And so because in that case, people wouldn't come to see me because they know me.
Right.
The songs need to be more accessible.
What's inaccessible about GCD?
I had an E minor in there.
I want to hear this out. So you think that if you were to write songs that weren't parodies, you would lose people at the show?
No, I just I'm really starting to like parodies.
That's different. You're perfectly entitled to enjoy and like a lesser form of the art.
Yes, it is. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, you hit this apex and you're gonna write the song of your life and it's not gonna be the last one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No kidding. Yeah.
Like, frankly, you know, I mean, Shuffleboard Queens was better than Then Again. So, you know, it's like you hit this point, you've said the passionate things you want to say, and then it's all downhill from there. You know?
I see what you're saying.
I mean, really, that, and I don't realistically, think it's all that's, downhill. But
Einstein,
you know,
was 26 when he published The Theory of Relativity. Okay. And then he spent 25 years looking for the grand unified theory, which he never really found.
You know, I mean, sometimes that happens. It's not all, you know, ribbons and bows tied up and, you know, you hit this.
But if you look at people that you sort of write differently, kind of like...
Oh, I think your doggie's home.
Oh, we've got about to have a dog party. All right, hang on. We're going to stop here and see what goes on.
Okay, well, the last... You can stop.
What would you, if you had to say, what is your three, if you're on your, say you have one set, one open mic set to get you into the Songwriters Club, somewhere. Was somebody send you a text message?
No, that was actually the school district of Philadelphia telling me that I had a job option.
Sweet. You want to check it?
No.
No. Fuck that. So, name your top three songs.
But right now, my favorite songs to perform.
Okay.
Are, really enjoy, performing this new song that I've written on piano.
Okay.
About, running.
Okay. Do you run?
I did a marathon.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's you great. Run, right?
Yes. I mean, although technically, if you were to see me doing it, you might not define it as running.
I did that like shallow, you know, oh, let me run a marathon just to, you know, say that I've run a marathon and give it a bad name because like I did it in 7 hours. I didn't do it in 7 hours. I'm just saying.
No, but dude, you ran a marathon. I ran the Broad Street 10-mile run. And then I'm pretty sure I gained weight that day. I came home and ate the entire fridge.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's awesome. While I trained for the marathon, I gained 10 pounds.
That's giving marathoning a bad name.
Not the direction I wanted to go in.
I got to think, like, because, you know, marathoning, the women's marathon wasn't an Olympic event until 1984, and famously, in the Boston Marathon, was all dudes and Jock Stempel, CJ, right? So it's a whole thing, right? And he said, "Women, you know, girls can't run marathons; their uteruses will fall out right there on the street, and all this stuff, right?" And now you look at the fucking freaks of nature that are running marathons, like they're like 300-pound guys with their knees taped up. There's a guy on crutches. Like, really? Like any idiot can run a marathon. I feel the same way about Everest, too. Like, Tenzing Norgay and Evan Hillary, they risked life and limb. And now you look, and there's like, oh, I climbed Everest, and I'm blind and have no limbs.
I rolled up.
Yeah, exactly. I lifted myself with my tongue.
I went, but I took the ski lift. They've got that now.
Right. Well, one of the things I, you know, I'm as is Beth, I'm sort of an Everest defile. One of the
my God, so am I.
You read Krakauer's book, Into Thin
Air?
Not
only did I read that one, I read every, you know, because he was so controversial, I read every single other version of it.
Oh, really?
Do you know that, you know?
No.
Oh, Beck Weathers has got one.
Oh,
the guy
how did
that
he type
left
it?
For death.
I know who Beck Weathers okay. is. I want to give him a high nun.
And the Russian guy, what's
okay.
his face? He wrote one.
Oh,
then he died
wrote
a year
book.
Later.
Yeah. Okay.
A bunch of them wrote it because John Krakauer actually laid the blame at some people's feet, and so they got all pissed off. Like Sandy, what's her face?
Oh, the girl,
the
woman,
high society
yeah,
one
that was
that,
being
like,
dragged up by the Sherpas
with her satellite phone.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my God, I just got so into that because that was the most amazing book on tape ever. I drove while I listened
right.
to it, and I had to pull over to say, you are not on the mountain, you are not on the mountain. It was so riveting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I read everything I could about that.
I just read the book, and it always seemed to me that, like, they're all, you know, they're preparing for this, and they're getting their whole self together, and then they go to that one town, and they all get diarrhea in Lhasa or whatever it's called, and just, like, then they're sick, and it's like, why would they stop at that town? Like, don't stop in Diarrheaville. That's my one piece of
Wasting
advice.
Wasting away again in Diarrheaville.
Oh, the parodies just keep going.
Waka, waka, waka. I'm here all week. Try the chicken.
Searching for my last roll of TP. It's easy to
there
do.
You
it's
go.
Easy to do.
I know it's easy, but it's cute.
So I love that book. And that's one of the things when I met Beth, one of the things we clicked about was Everest. Like, one of her dreams was to go to base camp.
Okay.
So,
okay.
yeah. And she actually, I think, climbed Mount Washington
yeah.
at some point. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then she also ran marathons. And then she decided
20-some.
At the age of, you know, 70 or whatever she is, she decided to have, she's not 70. She's 40. I think she's 1 year older than me. I'm not going to say how old she is because now she's going to be mad. I wonder
she's
if she 40 listens.
Something.
Yeah. But she just had like a baby like 3 years ago.
No,
and,
she didn't.
And went to nursing school.
No, she didn't.
How old is her kid?
Second grade.
Second grade. So what is that? Four? Seven?
Well,
nine?
The funny thing is I just saw her, you know, a couple
oh,
of weeks ago.
Okay.
We went to the quilting convention together.
That's the joke, right?
No.
Really?
And so I was like, now, is he in kindergarten now? She's like, nope, second grade. I'm like, oops.
All right, well, good. She's plugging away.
Yeah.
And she's a nurse and...
She got her nursing degree and then she worked at, what's that big grant...
Smith, Klein, Glaxo,
no,
Beecham,
no,
Johnson
big,
& Johnson.
The big
Robert
Grant.
Wood Johnson.
Yeah.
I got to it.
Okay,
I
yeah.
I got around to it.
I like something Robert, with Johnson.
Robert Wood Johnson is like three penis jokes. Like
yeah,
right in a row.
Yeah. But then she's recently left that job, even though she loved it. And,
okay.
Because she had to work closer.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It was a bitch of commute. Anyway, so you're... let me ask you this. With the babes... What if you wanna? Well, first of all, how often do you write a new song?
Well, do I write new songs? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you were always one. I like you applied your Puritan Summers in the Glue Factory work ethic to songwriting. Like, whereas the rest of us are just like, we're just gonna strum until the mood strikes us. You're like,
yeah,
fuck
no,
that.
Not so much.
But
no,
you, used
I still
to.
Don't.
You used to you used to sit and be like,
yeah.
fuck inspiration. I'm gonna sit here for 2 hours, and 2 hours later, I'm gonna have a song.
Yeah, well, you know, the interesting thing about being an independent singer-songwriter is that your work ethic just slowly gets sucked. Well, you just, you know, if there's no extrinsic motivation and there's no boss, you end up
right.
becoming just a big lug.
But, so do you...
But what? Yeah, I you the new running song.
Okay.
I love playing that one. And you're going to hate this, but I have a really funny song about Facebook that I really enjoy playing
okay.
because people kind of identify with. I like my song about the metric system.
I like that one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's a call and response. And I have
yeah.
a new song. Well, it's not really new, but about cheese that's call and response. I really like.
You have a song about cheese?
Yeah.
So how many songs about food do you have? Pretty much all
a
of them.
A lot of
if
them.
You get down to
yeah,
it, right?
really.
So now, if you want to sing a new song with the babes, how does can you just say, I have a new one tonight?
No, no.
How's this go?
No, it's we're not about being artists. We're about being a show for people that pay good money to come see us and, you know, and really get top quality. It's, we always have to play our A-list songs.
Okay.
We're not allowed to play B or C-list songs.
Really?
Yeah.
So of the there's four of you on stage, mm-hmm. and you're across the front of the stage?
Yeah.
And so four of you, what, do you each play 3-4 songs each in the night?
We each play 4 songs.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, and then we have a couple of ensemble pieces.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who's the, what's the encore? Or...
The encore is was actually written by Camille West. Do you know her?
It's a familiar name. Who is that?
I think she's written the funniest song pretty much in history.
Oh, okay.
It's called Viagra in the Waters. Have you heard of it?
I think I did hear it, yeah.
You know, and obviously I don't tend to sing blue stuff. This is such a brilliantly crafted song that I kind of laugh every time I sing it.
Oh, that's great.
It's so good. It is such a good song.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So each of you, so what are your four
currently
songs?
Right now, because we've got 3 shows. Have Hormonal Imbalance, that's the original one, and then we've got Divination, that's the second one, and then the current one that we're doing right now for the most part is called Midlife Vices. And
So how do you decide? Oh, we got a gig in Colorado. How do you decide which show we're going to play?
The theater books the one they want.
Really?
Yes. Yes, and
that's
the songs
crazy.
Are different.
What a different world.
We're really fortunate.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in my newest show, the songs that I play are Facebook.
Okay.
Cheese, the running song, and I can never not do Boob Fairy. That's the one that we close with.
That's in all shows?
Yeah. It's the one song that I do in every show.
Do all the other girls have one that they do in every show?
No, but they definitely do have, we do bring like the really, really popular songs up to the next show. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, Sally has a song about, faces on my wall about, you know, the pictures that she has from her relatives that kind of, died in the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And, you know, that probably lasted 2 shows, not just one. And occasionally if she feels that the mood is right, she'll do it in the third show. And, Debbie has a wonderful song.
Oh, wait, if the mood is in the middle of the show, she can audible?
No, but she knows, like, the crowd.
Okay.
Like, she'll know, you know?
This is just, this is a completely different
right,
way
you,
of when I go on stage.
You just do spontaneous, like,
whatever I fucking
whatever,
feel like,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I've never been that way, so.
No, I know.
Yeah. And, Debbie has a drum song called Pass It On that's really incredible that she'll, you know, maybe she'll do that one.
Okay.
And then she's got an opera song, so.
Okay.
Yeah, but Boob Fairy's just, you know,
rocking.
That's always.
And that's still a huge hit.
Unless people have heard it several times.
Really? It gets less? Because I would think it's like an old friend at the end of a show.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard for me to say, but I'm
sometimes
happy to
feel
play
like,
it.
Like you're trying to be more modest because you think you should be, but. You know, like
no, I feel very blessed that I got that song.
Okay.
I nailed a big one, and frankly, I love that song.
Where did you write it? Do you remember?
I wrote it in Korea.
You wrote it in Korea. How many of the Shuffleboard Queen songs did you write in Korea?
No. I wrote it right before. I wrote it when I was in Upper Darby. I was teaching 4th grade in New Jersey, so that was there. And then Cheerleader was written in Korea.
Okay.
Yeah. A Cheerleader was written in Korea, so.
Cheerleader is also a great song.
Thanks.
I
do that a lot, but I'm a little old to be playing Cheerleader, you know, but they still want that song.
Here's the thing is, I've found, I don't really write those angry young 20s dude songs anymore.
Yes, I heard that in your podcast.
Yeah, but I've still got them, and I say, here's a song that's really old. I used to feel this way. I don't anymore. And I can inhabit it, and we can all sort of look back the way
uh-huh.
you know, the way your parents listen to oldies.
Yeah.
You know, they're not actually 17 anymore, but you can inhabit it and go back to that time. And so I think I'm sure you get away with Cheerleader. I mean, like, it's clear that you're playing a character.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just think that is an excellent, excellent piece of writing.
Thank you.
I think it's like, here's the thing is that your songs are funny, but one of the things that I really like about you is that for the most part, your songs are also very tight craft. There are people that write funny or they write blue and because that's the gimmick and the shtick, they don't put the time into the craft. And I have not found that to be the case with you. Your songs have that Tom Lehrer tightness.
Thanks.
That I'm always impressed by. I feel like a subject in your hands can be I can trust you to give it a good piece of craft rather than just whip off some couplets and cash a check.
Thanks. Yeah, because you can hear that a lot on XM Radio now has Comedy Central.
Okay.
And there's a whole bunch of comedians that do the guitar thing, and some of them are funny, but some of them it's just like, I can't believe that the audience is laughing at that.
If you say a dumb old joke, but you say it while you sing it and strum it, all of a sudden that's a funny song.
That's what makes parody so easy, is that half the joke is the fact that it's not what it seems to be.
Yeah. I know.
I know.
I know. It's not my thing, but it is what it is. You should play us. You want to do that? Do the running song? Facebook song? What do you
want
to do next?
Oh, you want me to do the running song?
I want you to do another song.
I do the running song at the Babes shows, so.
No, dude, what, I'm sorry. What were you going to do on piano?
Oh, on piano, okay. Well, let me get the piano set up and
then we'll figure it out. Okay, hang on. All right, we are back. We had a little set change. We have set up the piano and we were all squeezed in here to the Permanent Records podcast studio. And Deirdre Flint is going to tickle my ivories. Actually, she brought her own ivories.
He's going to be very upset because this is not just a parody, but several. And parodies are a little bit a lower level of, well, I don't know. Can you even call it art? I do, but you might not. Anyway, so if you don't know, which I'm sure you do, Adam is in the Guinness Book of World Records for doing actually 50 states in 50 days. And no lie, he even did Hawaii. He played in the airport.
In the lounge.
Unbelievable. So I'm currently working on a, I don't know whether or not I want to get into the Guinness Book of World Records, but I...
You have to. It has simply opened so many doors for me.
Really?
No, not at all. Okay. But I got to meet those fat twins. No, I met their relatives.
Oh, get out of town.
Also fat.
Oh, okay. I would imagine that
they're
takes
dead.
A lot of effort to stay on the top of that list these days.
Yes.
Okay, so the most parodies of a single song.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, there we go. Robert Frost wrote poems about the woodland air. Who'd have known the evil that was lurking there? One small stroll, who knew it'd take this deadly toll? A frickin' tick, and you're laid out flat. Completely fried, but that's what you get for going outside. Lyme disease. Like you've been hit with a Mack truck, you've got Lyme disease. It's a colossal feat of strength just to get out of bed, and everyone thinks that it's all in your head. Okay, so here's another one. And this is going out to various ex-boyfriends that it didn't end well. You had dreams, you grew up quoting Kerouac. Now you've got the best lawn on the cul-de-sac. Days are spent in comfy middle management. Till Friday night comes, you get a sitter, you take a drive to your special restaurant, and you feel alive. Applebee's. Look at you, you've got the good life, you do Applebee's. You got two kids and a wife, man, that's suburban bliss. Have you tried those sliders? Those things are the shit. Okay, and here's one Here's one for your ethnic heritage. As stories go, it's not quite Leviticus. No sex with goats or old guys who like stoning chicks.
Nice.
But it's fun to see pissed off Hismonians. It's hit the fan, there's Greeks on the run. They go down in flames, the tribe's kicking ass and taking names. Maccabees, if they're Jews and they're fighting mad, you're reading Maccabees. Yeah, the Goldbergs and the Weinsteins, they'll be raising some hell to get back their land known as Israel. Okay, one more. Bingley moved down the street, he fancied Jane. But his friend Darcy looked at her kin with disdain. He got burned, he asked Liz to dance, and he was spurned. And so it goes, the meaner she got, the more he's bestought. She's not giving out freebies, so the cow it gets bought. Pemberley! Play some head games with the rich guy, you get Pemberley. Poor Fitzwilliam made a choice, no doubt he does regret. Cause we all know Lydia's better in bed. Pemberley! And then I got ham and cheese. When you have a chop for days, you're now the ham and cheese. Just a little mayonnaise would be so fine, oh geez. The stuff's past the sell date, it's ham and cheese.
Wait.
Sophocles! He's a Greek and he's kind of ancient, he is Sophocles. Was his mother quite a looker? I'd say more or less. Cause how would he think of Oedipus? Hannity! Manatees! See? It's good, it works.
So, I imagine a world where someone bases their entire career, an entire musical career, on the fact that they have never actually written a note, but they've just taken one melody, and whatever they want, they would fit it in. So this is the
melody.
You sing this with the babes?
No.
Okay.
No, this is the first time I've ever performed it.
Oh, good. Well, I'm so happy to be here for the premiere.
Well, because it's got the word shit in it, and I don't curse
right.
on stage so.
At all.
No, I don't. No.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've ever seen you curse on... Actually, so we're done with the piano?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to stop, and we're going to relocate to get the sound a little better. All right, so we are back. We are back again. So no, I'm trying to think. Have I ever seen you lose your shit on stage and curse? I don't think so. I know that back in the day, you would have... Like you would work the shtick up. The shtick was part of the song. And it was you know, the monologue and then the song.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen in cases where sometimes the crowd would try and derail you. And it seldom worked. You have a laser focus when they are trying to ask a question.
Wait,
or contribute
are you,
to the
are
show.
Are you implying, or another way of saying laser focus is, it was completely canned and rehearsed.
Yes. But the thing
interaction?
Was...
Interaction? There is no interaction.
Well, there was probably one moment where you specifically told people... Wait, are you the one? Didn't you call... Yeah, you would... what was the dating song that you would call people up to read? You still do
yes.
that one?
No.
No.
It was a cute song. I really liked it. I just got a little old for it.
Yeah. You know? Do you play...
But I did do it with the babes.
How many... Oh, okay. That must have been great because you bring up some dude with a fanny pack and...
It was great, but it was... The tension, the stress of it was just...
Why?
Well, I mean, you're not performing to 50 people. You're performing to, like, 500 to 1,000. And,
right.
like, if it goes wrong, you know, it goes really wrong.
Did that song
and then,
tend
you know,
to go
you're
wrong?
Getting to... No. But you're getting to the point where the guy forgets to bring his bifocals.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And then it's SOL.
Gotta make
so,
consent.
There you go.
You should start traveling with reading glasses. Be like, here you go, dude.
Exactly.
Give them out like
but
candy.
I'm, yeah, I don't
You get
that
branded ones that say four bitchin' on one temple and babes on the
that
other.
That would be a great idea.
Right?
Yeah.
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 And you could have the... you know how they turn in guns? You trade guns for books. You could trade tampons for women that don't need them anymore. They bring their old tampons. And
oh my god, that's
get,
a great idea!
Copies of Twilight or whatever old women are into. 50 Shades of you have a 50 Shades of Grey song?
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah,
you do.
I picked up a copy at the airport. I put it down. And I would rather get a root canal than read 50. Put it down right away. I'd rather get a root canal than read 50 Shades of Grey. That's it.
Okay. So
that didn't go over so well.
Do you think it was too edgy or?
The 50 Shades of Grey? No, I don't know. I did it at State College. I was doing like those little, you know, four line parodies.
Oh, right.
About upcoming movies and stuff like that. Or, you know, movies.
So now, are you playing, other than Babe's shows, do you play solo anymore?
The only solo shows that I do is twice a year I do State College. I do the Pennsylvania Festival of the Arts.
Okay.
And I do First Night.
Okay, and what about do Babes fans ever call you and ask you to play a house concert or something?
No, I don't know why.
They should.
Yeah.
If you Babes fans are listening, you should host a house concert. Deirdre Flint could be in your living room, and she curses like a sailor when she's not on
stage.
That
is not true.
It is not true, actually. She does not. She curses like the most polite sailor on earth.
Oh, darn it!
Oh, darn it! You say you still write. How many do you think, does it just, you get an idea and you pull over like in the old days, you pull the car over because you used to say, you know, someone should write a song about, I should write a song about X, and then you'd put it in your little calendar and sit down and write a song about X versus just kind of waiting for the line to come and then pulling the car over. I know that's how you used to work.
I have to say that things aren't going real well as far as writing goes. I mean, I
You say that, so how many do you think you write a year at this stage?
I don't know, like 6?
Dude, that's going well for someone our age.
Oh, okay.
No, like don't get discouraged. You know, I used to write, you know, back when I was a kid, I used to write just because, whoo, to write a song. And now, even if you get an idea, you're like, A, this is going to end stupid. Yeah. Or B, I've already written 5 great ones just like it. What am I going to write? So only when a good one comes to you. 6 is about right for someone your age.
Okay, thanks.
I'm doing 10 or 12 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's more I let go because I'm like, oh, fuck. The pen's way over there. or I get to, but you know what? I will write that tomorrow. So, but there's nothing wrong with that. That's a perfectly acceptable number. I mean, like you can't live that young fueled life forever.
Well, and the other thing is, I mean, I know this is going to sound a little snotty, but like, I mean, if we were writing commercial songs about love, I mean, there's, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Then sure, you could write a bunch because you just, you know.
Because you could cash checks? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying, like, if you're content with, you know, like you and I, we write very concretely. You know what I mean? Like, but if you just want to write a song about, like, I pushed my ship out in the harbor.
The wisdom of whales, you used to say.
Yeah, or you know, like you just, you know, if it's a love song that you're hoping to get on the radio.
Okay.
You know, sure, you could write 30 of them.
Right.
You know?
In the morning, yeah. Yeah.
So.
Oh, but what is the, do you get a flash of inspiration ever, or are you still thinking should write a song about X?
No, to be honest with you, I spend pretty much my creative time thinking, preparing, and designing for my teacher show.
Right.
So.
Tell me about how that's going to be play how it's going to play out.
Multimedia. What's multimedia?
It means you're using slides usually.
Okay, so you know it's like I have cartoons that I've designed.
Is Dave helping you with this? Do you still see Dave?
Yeah, Dave and I are still close, and he's getting very good on it because he's doing. I do. There's a little bit of a Hatfields and a McCoys between the two of us because he does Apple and I do PC.
Right.
So I do Adobe After Effects and he does Final Cut Pro.
Who the hell works in video on a PC? That's unheard of.
Well, I don't know. The thing about it is that like the really important thing that I learned from Apple is to save often, because your stupid ass computer freezes up and shuts down every 5 minutes. And for some reason, PCs don't do that. So I admire the patience of people that work with this piece of shit Apple stuff. But I, for one, would like my computer to stay on for more than 15 minutes.
Okay.
Now, Dave said I probably just got a bad computer.
That's what Apple guys say.
Because, yeah. You know, that doesn't usually happen. But that's all I remember from my... I got an Apple to, or a Mac, whatever they call it, to do just recording. So
right.
I did it for, you know, GarageBand and what's that called? Logic.
Yeah.
And that's all I put on it.
Okay.
And it would just freeze and shut down.
Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't use it for anything else.
Apple's an evil corporation, and I'm not going to defend them, but they make toys that I can use. Anyway.
Yeah.
But okay, so you're using a PC, and so Dave is involved in this project.
No, he's not involved in it, but he helps. He's
Dave
gonna
Gregorio,
help,
by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, he's going to help me if I, you know, run into... Like, for instance, I just did two advertisements for the Babes.
Okay.
Because I, you know, now I know this kind of stuff. I know how to
okay.
do this stuff. So, well, kind of. So I did it in, After Effects, but part of it, the fly-ins and stuff were a little jerky. So then I just gave all the files to Dave, and he's going to do it correctly. Because that's what he does at Villanova now.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. So, okay, so back to your show. So it's a multimedia show. It's going to be, it's a live show. You're going to... You know,
yes, it's a live show, and it's going to be a lot more edgy than what I usually do.
Oh, you're going to say crap?
No, it's just that I have become really, really furious with how teachers are being treated.
All right.
I'm just a substitute, and I see the way that teachers are being treated. And look, when I signed on to be a teacher, I'm not going to sit here and complain about how much money we make, because look, Sherlock, if you wanted to make a lot of money, you shouldn't have been a teacher. So don't take the job and then complain about, oh, we're not making enough money. That's ridiculous, you know? But the conditions have worsened to the point that it is just a soul-sucking job. And it's just horrible the way teachers are being treated. And, you know, initially I was going to put together a show to do at, like, teaching conventions, but I feel so strongly about the way teachers are being treated. I don't think I could soft pedal it enough.
Right. So is this going to be a one-woman show? Like,
yeah.
At the Fringe
and
Fest
like,
or something?
I, yeah. Like, I do, I, you know, I do, like, I have this whole, you know, online, I don't have anything on it, but I bought horizonquest.com, and it's this fake... teacher, fake teacher curriculum. And so, I've got a script where my sister is going to say, like, teachers, have you been forced into early retirement or, you know, denied tenure? And basically the concept is you get a whole bunch of fake curriculum to get back at the kids. It's a joke, right? But so
I love
right.
I love the
so,
commitment.
Like,
to
I
this.
Have one right. And I already have a guy that did the voiceover.
Okay.
There are four parts to an atom. The proton, the neutron, the electron, and the do-do-ron-ron-ron. And then Sean Cassidy, like I have a cartoon of an atom, and Sean Cassidy is one of the things. And then, I've got these little ditties.
Please.
Let's see. Okay, so... this would be for a teacher that, you know, was forced into early retirement or just really got screwed over. So this is how they're gonna teach their kids. What keeps us sticking to the planet? What keeps us Earth off from floating free? What keeps us here where there's oxygen to breathe? It's friendly Mr. Gravity. Gravity's a non-renewable resource. When it runs out, we'll fall off the Earth and die. Some scientists say there's 20,000 years left, but most say we'll run out by next July. Canada's got lots of igloos and penguins. If you like snow, it's great. The kids all drive bobsleds to school. cartoons and stuff like that, because I do animation now. And then
you do animation now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And a bunch of songs. Lazy, I'm sorry to say, your kid's lazy. That kind of stuff.
What's the show called?
It's called Teacher Teacher.
Teacher Teacher.
Yeah.
And what's
it was
what's
gonna
your...
be Teacher on Meds, but Teacher Teacher. I know it's not brilliant, but it's very
no. That's
memorable.
Good. Yeah.
It's very memorable.
And so, when are you looking to debut this?
Probably the late spring.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh excellent. Yeah. Oh that's super exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it because I just feel so strongly about the frustration level that I feel as a substitute.
All right, so
can't even compare to
Michelle Rhee. Pro, con, feelings about her?
Well, I don't know. I think that I don't know. I have my own feelings about how to fix things, and I don't know too many people that think the way I do.
I would love to hear I have no ideas. What do you got? What would you do?
I think that first of all, I was in a first or second grade the other day, and they're in the first or second grade, and I'm disparaging nobody in Philadelphia. Everybody's trying really hard. I'm working really hard.
Right.
But there were these beautiful, what do you call these?
Macintoshes, computers, laptops?
Yeah, but the big...
iMacs, yeah.
Okay, so three of them.
Right.
Three iMacs in a first or second grade.
Right.
In a neighborhood where what we really need to focus on is teaching kids how to read, not use a computer. And when I think about how much money they spent on a single one of those computers that they could have spent on science equipment, that they could have spent on a science program where kids were getting down and dirty and working with soil and chemicals and all that stuff, and instead we buy them three computers, and they've got computers at home. I mean, who's spending money on three iMacs that only three kids can use at a time when that could have gone to resources for a science program? There's no science. You know, it just, you know, and frankly, again, I feel bad for the kids who are misbehaving, but this is a democracy, and we've got to focus on the majority. And the majority of kids in Philadelphia want to learn, and their right to learn is being stolen by kids who are running around hitting them and making so much chaos. And then, you know, what can I do? There are no consequences. As soon as I get near a kid who's running around hitting other children, as soon as I get near him, he or she says, "You cannot touch me," because it's against the rules.
So you'd bring back smacking kids for teachers?
No. Oh, no. But what I would do is I would make it so the only time I've ever really had a desire to hit a kid is when the kid was hitting other children.
Right.
And I couldn't stop him. That's what, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter what they say to me. I just don't have it in me to hit a kid. But there are kids that basically, because they know you can't touch them, they run around the room and just, you know, they'll just, you know, hit some kid. And it just upsets me beyond belief. And you call down to the office and they don't send anybody. So you got this kid running around hitting kids.
Have you ever substituted in the suburbs?
In the beginning, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because one thing I notice is, you know, I read about the schools here, and then I go out and go to my friend's son's football game out, you know, in the suburbs, and just an hour away, it's a completely different world.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. Yeah, I mean, because I taught in Hatton Township,
okay.
New Jersey.
Yeah, right.
And that was the most wonderful district ever. I mean, those kids were just, you know, the parents were nice, the kids were nice, it was... You know, I don't know, it's really unfair for some of these kids. Their right to learn is being stolen. And I'm really sorry, again, I'm sorry for the kids that misbehave, but I don't think that we should punish the entire group because a few kids misbehave.
Have you ever thought about making this more than your part-time job and maybe going into administration or some sort of, I mean, you're a folk singer, but... Yeah. Have you ever thought? I wonder if there's some sort of educational calling that I could.
No, because the thing about it is that is so politically incorrect to just basically separate the kids who are misbehaving.
Right.
That anybody that suggests it gets totally shot down.
Okay.
So it's, you know, but I just don't know how a teacher can teach when there's a kid running around hitting kids. You know what I mean? And what it's teaching the other children is that there are no consequences.
Right.
You know? And the thing about it is, it's easier to run a boot camp by, you know, in the armed forces. Because if somebody does something wrong, there's a consequence.
Mm-hmm.
We have no consequences available to us. So, you know, I mean, I would give detention and the kids would bolt. They wouldn't stay.
Right.
You know? So... It just is so upsetting to see what the kids have to endure. I mean, can you imagine going to an adult workplace and being in your cubicle and having some guy just come up and start sucker punching you?
That's what I imagine job. I've never really had a job, so that's what I imagine it's like.
Right, and then like you go complain to your supervisor, and the supervisor says, "Okay, we'll put him on timeout." And then every day you're scared to death to go into work because there's a kid sucker punching you, just jumping you whenever he feels like. Okay, how much work would you get done? But that's what these kids are subjected to.
Mm.
How in the world could, I mean, and I don't mean, you know, somebody going like this. I mean, like you're sitting in your cubicle hoping to God that somebody doesn't come and jump you and tear your hair out. You know, I mean, how can you focus? Is it fair? You know, is it fair that we expect as adults a different working situation than what we give our children? There's no way in hell on Wall Street some guy, you know, if some guy went around sucker punching people,
then he'd deserve it, like, though.
Well, you need 2 days at home and then you can come back. No way! But, I mean, we don't go to our jobs scared to death. Why should we allow kids to? It's not right. But at least I don't have an opinion on about.
Well, I'm really looking forward to your show.
Thanks.
You should play one more song for us.
All right. So you want me to play the Shuffleboard?
I would love to hear the Shuffleboard Queens.
Okay. I hope I can play it because I never do.
Now, this was written about an actual person, right? An actual friend of yours, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys talk anymore?
She committed suicide.
Oh, well, I'm glad I brought that up. Yeah. That's not awkward at all.
A couple of years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
you're bumming me out, man.
So there will be no Shuffleboard Queen for
this. This is I mean, you know, I love your songs and your funny songs, but this one, I guess, would be, it's not particularly funny. I think it's just a brilliant and touching and tender piece of writing. And
thank
I stumbled
you.
Back on it. It popped up on my iPod, I don't know, 3 years ago, and I hadn't heard it in 10 years or whatever. And I was like, holy fuck, this is like, I got a whole new thing out of it now that I wasn't a kid anymore. And I was like, "Holy shit, that would be amazing!"
Aww.
And so this is for those of you that have never heard the Shuffleboard Queens, DeirdreFlint.com. You can probably buy a copy of the album, The Shuffleboard Queens, which is just tip to tail, just a truly stellar and wonderful album.
Thank you.
And then the second one is called
Then Again.
Then Again, and then that's all, right? Just the two.
That's it.
Ah, yeah. you had a
well,
good run.
I'm busy with the Babes. You know, we put out three albums. No, so there you go.
Deirdre Flint, a member of the four Bitchin' Babes, who are probably like eight Bitchin' Babes total, if you count like all the members of and so play us the Shuffleboard
okay,
Queens.
Thank you. Last time I saw you, you had a ticket in your hand. Going one way, you'd put the furniture out on the curb for the Salvation Army to take away. And you don't call like you used to, and I don't write like I should. And now you're telling me life's gotten so I nearly lost you for good. Well, you've been the high notes in my laughter since you've gone. If I'd known now as I waved you goodbye, I'd have flagged that Amtrak and gotten on. And foolish goals we derided are my companions well known. I guess you're finding out your own way. Life gets lonely alone. But when the love of our lives have passed away, and our hair has turned silver or blue or gray, don't forget I'll be calling you. Don't forget we have things to do. Buy us a condo in retirement land, wear polyester and start up a band. Be every virile older man's savior. Embarrass our kids with imprudent behavior, and maybe realize our dreams. You and me, girl, will be the shuffleboard queens. Oh, the grand lies we'd have done. Oh, the grand dames we'd be. I never knew how much I leaned on you till I found only me. And I don't call like I used to. Nothing much left to say, 'cause I don't really have to tell you. I put my dreams all away. So every wish that runs through you throughout the years, write them down. And I swear when we get to the other end, we'll do them all before we hit the ground. All the good times we'll have then, like the days we once had. So don't you go start doing foolish things like learning good wine from bad. When the love of our lives have passed away, turn silver or blue or gray, don't forget I'll be calling you. Don't forget we have things to do. Buy us a condo in retirement land, wear polyester and start up a band. Find us a nude beach and practice our catcalls, write feminist poetry and our names on men's stalls, and maybe realize our dreams. You and me, girl, be the shuffleboard queens.
I love that song so very, very much. And now it's all sadder now that I know the story. Hand me the guitar. So it has been my absolute pleasure to hang out with you. It was fun.
Thank you so much, Adam. Thank you so much for having
me. This was a genuine blast. It was great talking to you. Probably now we're going to go introduce our two dogs, maybe grab a little dinner or whatever. And stay tuned for next week. I got some stuff lined up. But this has been Deirdre Flint, deirdreflint.com, for Bitchin'. What's the Bitchin' Babes website?
Forbitchinbabes.com.
Four with the number, four with the...
Forbitchin.
There we go. And so if you ever get the chance to see her at a show, or really, you should contact her on the website and throw a house concert, because Deirdre Flint should play more of her own songs.
Thank you.
And also, sometimes when you get her drunk and she's given directions from the back seat, she's hilarious.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't talk about how you're like Plinko. I remember one of the things is like, the way I knew you is like, you're like half Vulcan, at least you were back in the day. You had, you know, your ethical compass, part of your laser focus, your ethical compass, you knew in whatever situation, whatever, you never seemed to me unsure of what the decision should be. And so it reminded me of a game of Plinko, you know, the Plinko game. Yeah. From Price is Right.
Uh-huh.
So like your little chip would drop down and hit a nail, and you would survey the situation and be like, well, I go left or right. And then you do it again, left or right, left or right. And that's how you ended up wherever you ended up. You knew exactly what had to be done. Didn't you said once.
And it all went down.
It did. It all went down. Didn't you tell me that you knew, like, on the first date, whether you're going to spend the rest of your life with someone? And if you weren't, fuck it, I'm not going out anymore. You said that.
Okay, maybe third. I don't know.
Okay, third. You said by the third date, I know whether I'm going to, whether this person.
I don't think I ever said
that. Oh, it made a big impression on me.
If not, I was very stupid.
We didn't even get into your romantic dalliances.
Oh, it's time to go.
Anyway, thank you all for listening to Rhymes Against Humanity with Adam Brodsky and my guest, Deirdre Flint. It has been my pleasure. I hope you guys had as much fun as we did. Rhymes Against Humanity with my good friend, Deirdre Flint. Thank you so much for coming out and talking to me. And we are clear.